One of the best or worst financial decisions that we can all make in our lives.
You've tuned into the Art of Money and Communication podcast. My name is Joshua, and this is the place where you can come on Wednesdays to hear inspiring financial stories from everyday normal people, just like you and just like me. Well, a happy belated Easter, and that means one thing. It's the end of one tax year, and we're verging into another one. But what does that exactly mean? Unfortunately, that means financial administration. Have you checked your ISAs, your LISAs, your pensions? This is the time to do it, with a few days remaining. Why is this so important? Well, each tax year, we have a tax-free allowance of £20,000 in the UK. First of all, to say that £20,000 is enormously generous. When looking into this early in the year, I could see that there were many European countries which offer a much, much smaller tax-free allowance. So to have the ability to save £20,000 per year tax-free is actually a bit of a godsend in the UK. So take advantage of that. But the good news is that if you don't have the funds to do that this year, then the clock resets, so to say, in just a few days' time. And that will give you another opportunity to work towards that £20,000. Now, we know that we're in the cost of living crisis, the cost of increasing, wages are stagnating, and everything feels like it's going against us. But there is an opportunity to put that money aside and to make it grow and work for you in the long term. And I like the end of the tax year in a way, because it's a chance to reflect, to see where we've gone, where we're heading towards, to put our financial hat on and ask these questions. ISAs, LISAs, self-invested personal pensions, particularly for the self-employed. If you're not paying into a pension, get started, guys, because it's not going to happen on its own accord. I'm talking particularly to the people that are self-employed here. That's the end of the tax year administration. I'm sure we'll be doing lots more talk in the coming months and weeks about maximizing ISAs and stuff. But for now, I wanted to move on to a story. A story from the 1800s. And the good thing here, right, is that this story is as relevant now as when it was written, which means it's a fantastic story. But I can guarantee you with a certain sense of certainty that you will not hear this information on any other personal finance podcast. When I say this information, I mean this story, this narrative. I'm going to walk you through in a chronological style what the story says, what it meant in the 1800s, for the characters, and what perhaps it could mean in 2024. And the main thing for you is to be able to take away some information and to think, what does this mean for me in my financial journey? So first of all, let's meet Nemorino. What a beautiful name. Poor old Nemorino is a peasant. In the 1800s, this was probably set on some type of farmland, so he would have been a worker in the farm, not doing work that is particularly well paid, and it's seen as quite a low status job. An equivalent in 2024 would perhaps be a minimum wage job, something that actually is a lot of hard work, perhaps manual labor or something of that nature, but is not paid very well. And Nemorino is not known for his intelligence. In fact, he is known for the opposite. He is known as being perhaps the village idiot, which is not a nice thing to say of anyone. But he's not very academic, but he has a certain sense of emotional intelligence, which should never be underestimated. So Nemorino's working his minimum wage job, and there's someone that he really admires. Not just admires, it's a little bit more than admiration, but he really fancies this girl called Adina. This, first of all, ties into the socioeconomic status of relationships and finance in general. Now, Adina is in a completely different social class. She, in the 1800s, would have been the owner of the farm, the boss of the farm, telling everyone what to do. She probably doesn't even notice that Nemorino exists and watches her from time to time, and he keeps his eye on her just as anyone does when they fancy someone a little bit. But Adina's not aware. She's got
more important things to do, running the farm, telling the managers and the workers what to do, and staying in control. As the story moves ahead, Adina is portrayed as someone that's independent, self-sufficient. She's the landowner, and she's got so many different fingers in pies of people that she's single, you know, but people could approach her and stuff could happen. That the ball is in her court. So in a 2024 equivalent, actually this is quite difficult, isn't it? But there would be a sense of her being able to make her own choices. She just doesn't have to rely on anyone else for financial stability. She is able to work on things herself. Nemorino is witnessing Adina from the side, from the sidelines. He is really fascinated about her character. Her intelligence is particularly appealing to him. But he knows that this socioeconomic difference is just too big. He needs something radical to happen in order to impress this woman. If he were to approach her as he is, with little money, little education, she would have no interest whatsoever. One could argue from a 2024 perspective that Nemorino was a simple man leading a simple life. Perhaps some of you guys are listening to this and you quite desire the idea of Nemorino's life. You would love to be able to retreat to a farm, to look after the animals and to have some peace and quiet and to live a simple, holistic life. And because we're living in such a consumeristic society, the pressure on social media to have the latest gadgets, to have those latest things, is becoming even more important and more difficult to turn off those voices, physical voices that are playing through your speakers and internal voices in your head telling you that you must do X, Y, or Z. That's going to be a big problem in a long-term financial strategy. So things weren't looking great for poor Nemorino. The desperation is getting to him and he's starting to waver. Something unexpected happens for Nemorino. Dr. Dulcamara is a traveling quack, let's say. When I say doctor, he's not really a doctor. He wears the white coat, but he hasn't got any qualifications. And everyone in the village is fascinated by Dr. Dulcamara, and they all gather around listening to what he says. And he introduces this concept of the elixir of love. So it's this love potion that can solve all of your romantic problems. Not only your romantic problems, it can put hairs on your chest, it can help you grow hairs on your head, it can give you muscles, it can put you to sleep more easily, it can take away your depression. This can do absolutely anything.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
Of course, it was a scam. But with other people in the village buying their portion of the elixir and celebrating it, Nemorino gets so seduced by the idea that this elixir will solve all of his problems that he'll do anything to make sure that he can get that elixir. So what is the 2024 equivalent? Well, it could be get-rich-quick schemes, financial scams. We've all fallen foul to them at some point. It's important that we have an amount of skepticism and due diligence in financial decision-making. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, that we have that £20,000 of tax-free money in the UK, the UK also has some very stringent financial regulations. I know this is something that financial advisors talk a lot about, that sometimes the financial regulations go against the best for the consumer. There are occasions where these financial regulations stop people from doing stupid things. And regardless of your intelligence, we are all capable of doing stupid things from time to time. And Nemorino's story, everyone else doing it at that time, it was so influential for him. And he thought, well, this is bound to be true. Again, surrounding yourself around people that are sound, that have a good financial plan, and that you can bounce ideas off. I always think that's an important thing that's overlooked. If you're ever in doubt of a particular investment or a purchase that you're going to make, check with a trusted person and just say, am I going crazy here? Should I double check this? Nemorino is absolutely desperate at this point to win Adina's love, so he spends his very last bit of money on Dr. Dulcamara's elixir. Now, this should be a very important red flag to mention, that when we're in those desperate situations, emotions are running so high that it can feel like the right thing to do, but high pressure, high emotion situations are not the time to be making very large financial decisions. And in this case, Nemorino was down to his very last few pounds. That was a very big financial decision. You listening to this, you might think, oh, well, it's only 50 quid, it's only 100 quid, so what? But when that is someone's entire net worth, that is a huge, huge decision. This is also the case in 2024. Perhaps a relative has died, someone's passed away, you've got an inheritance. It's a very emotional time, and there are so many things to do in that moment, isn't there, of technicalities, of administration, making sure everything's correct and done in the right way. But that is a time of high emotion. And so often I do hear on the Dave Ramsey show, for example, he says, give yourself 6 months, give the time for you to grieve and the grieving process to happen. And when that 6 months has passed, don't spend any of your inheritance on anything. Don't make an emotionally based financial decision. Nemorino, take a step back from the crowd and think about what you're about to do. This is a very important part of the story. Nemorino spends his last coins on what he thinks is the elixir. But it turns out that it's just a small bottle of wine. He's been fobbed off. But critically, he still thinks that it is the elixir of love, and he loves the taste. It tastes good, and he drinks some more and more and more, so much so that he starts getting a little bit tipsy, verging on even a little bit drunk. This leads to Nemorino discovering a newfound confidence that he never had before, so much so that it starts to provoke some type of discussion within the village, asking, well, what's this name? We haven't seen Nemorino like this before. There's something that's happened. So there is a connection, isn't there, between self-confidence and financial success, which perhaps we overlook in society. We are filled with so many of those impulse purchases on the day. Social media is bashing us over the head with adverts. But there is something about status and wealth. As we look at everyday millionaires, they're known to build their wealth over a number of generations, but to wear humble clothes, jeans and a t-shirt. And often it's said that actually people without wealth want to showcase those wealth symbols. Gary Vee put it quite well, I believe, in saying that if there's something that you really want to buy, let's use a car, Ferrari or BMW as an example, is it the car itself that is going to bring that great sense of joy and satisfaction? Or is it the reaction, that feeling that you get from being around other people, seeing you do that thing, that sense of social status? E.g., is it going to be exciting for you to drive around the village, the local village, showing off your Ferrari versus driving a Ferrari on a track where no one else can see you? There's a big difference. And if you do find yourself veering towards someone that likes to show that financial success. I don't want to say that's a red flag, but you could be in a danger zone for many reasons, particularly thinking that your income is your greatest wealth-building tool, but at some point your income is going to stop. You will get more old, more elderly, and you won't be able to be in a position where you're able to work any longer. So now is the time to start putting some money aside now, so that in the future you can still have some of those luxuries. But often the way that we see it is that people love having those things right now, so they spend all of their disposable income, leaving very little for the future. And if you have that part of your personality, that's going to be a bit of a problem. With Nemorino's newfound confidence, he is no longer the unknown person in the village. When I said that, I had that voice from TikTok in my head. Did any of you hear that? The Willy Wonka experience in Glargo? It's the unknown! Ah! Anyway, side note. He is no longer the unknown. He is known to Adina. He's chatting to her. And this newfound confidence, he's feeling pretty smug with himself. But there's one big problem. The so-called elixir that Dr. Duke Lamara has sold to Nemorino just before handing over the money, he said, does it work instantly? And being a little bit panicked, Dr. Duke Lamara isn't the most honest of people out there. He says, oh, well, it doesn't work straight away. Give it a bit of time, 24 hours, let's say. Giving him enough time to get out of town, of course. But in the meantime, Nemorino's got his confidence. He's feeling in the zone. But Adina, in the meantime, has been approached by someone else. And since it's in the 1800s, I know this wouldn't happen now on Tinder, but this other person has proposed. He said, let's get married. And that is heartbreaking for Nemorino, and his world is suddenly crushed. He thought that by spending the money on the elixir of love, that everything was going to go perfectly and favor was going to come to him. But unfortunately, Adina's got interest from someone else, and the so-called love potion has got time to do its job and to work. Thankfully, however, the wedding doesn't go ahead. Da, da, da. And so we begin part two of the story. Hope you're paying attention. Let's get going. Part 2, Nemorino is really feeling down on his luck. He spent his last pennies on this love potion that hasn't worked. And he knows that he's got to get some more. Because if he doesn't get any more, he spent all of this money on nothing. And if Adina were to see him now, she would just see this normal guy, this peasant man from the village that works on the farm. Not this confident young man that was able to charm her. And this reminds us that wealth, status can make us do strange things with our money, isn't it? We will do anything to jump through hoops, and the 2024 equivalent could be going for experiences, going for purchases that we can't afford and racking up debt to show that sense of status, even though we don't have the money to pay it all off. And then at that moment, we feel that everything is coming crashing beneath us. What would have been an alternative for Nemorino at that point? Would it have been better to call it quits? To say, well, I've put my last pennies in, better just go back to the village and build up my emergency fund, my 3 to 6 months of expenses, and then one day maybe I can come back and purchase some more from Dr. Dulgamara. Maybe some distance from Adina would have been good, helping him just to process the information and to have that distance away from this emotional state. But as I'm sure you've learned by now, Nemorino is a hot-blooded young man, and he's led by his emotions. So he decides to join the army. Why does he join the army? Because by joining the army, you get a payout straight away, on the spot. And with that money, he can go straight to Dr. Dulgamara and buy some more love potion, which is exactly what he does. It's rumoured that Nemorino has an uncle that's just died, and he's set to inherit millions of pounds, hence the interest from some of the people in the village. So this has changed how Adina is is feeling and thinking. She doesn't know about this potential inheritance, but she's noticing the change in behavior from other people. One of the best or worst financial decisions that we can all make in our lives is picking the right partner to share our life with. If you're not aligned with the way that you spend money, how you view money, I talked about saving into your ISA at the beginning of the tax year. If you're with someone that has no interest in doing that whatsoever, then it might make your life a little bit different. Or difficult, I should say. It's also important to recognize the value of genuine affection over material wealth. And I see this from Adina, actually, that she does now have a genuine affection. She doesn't know about the inheritance, so she's just seeing Nemorino for who he is as a character. If we're getting into a relationship or a marriage just for wealth, then that may lead to some troubles further down the line. What's that saying? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And Adina is a perfect example of this because she has all the right contacts. And in this circumstance, she realizes that what Nemorino is doing is good. He has good intentions, and that's going to serve her well in the long term to have someone that truly cares for her. And so she decides to buy back his enlistment papers, meaning that he doesn't have to join the army. Let's call this, that is Adina's FU money. She's saying, I'm not having you join the army. I've got some funds. Let's put that in place. Even if you incur a hefty fine, I'm going to pay it because I see the value. Now, that was a bit of a gamble moment because Adina doesn't realize whether Nemorino is going to accept that. Maybe he still wants to join the army. Maybe he wants that sense of independence and wants to move on from this entire situation. But that's not the case. Nemorino's really touched by this gesture and realizes the depths of Adina's feelings for him. And that is the true source of happiness. Going from being completely unnoticed and unwanted to actually being in love with someone. And this is the conclusion of the story. And I'm going to change the wording now. It is a story, but this is the libretto of an opera. And this is the libretto of an opera that I was doing in Finland recently. And I performed it over and over and over again. I did it 9 times altogether. I was just struck by how many financial stories were hidden within this great opera that are still relevant today, from managing your budget to social status, all of those things that we've talked about today. And so the story ends that they get together and they do live indeed happily ever after, which is perhaps a cheesy ending, but it's a nice ending too. But it's a reminder that there are more important things than finances. And at the conclusion of the opera, it so goes that Nemorino has inherited this fortune from his uncle. But it's of no interest to him whatsoever because he doesn't care about that. What he does care about is that he is with someone that he can share his life with. And for him, that's of more value. Hope that you enjoyed this unusual episode today and it's given you food for thought. We'll be back on a Wednesday sometime soon, sharing some more inspiring financial stories for you. In the meantime, why not go back through the archives and check out some of those, what do I call them? Every time I forget this, referral link codes. There are loads of them that you can check out. And I would encourage you to do so. It's a great way of supporting the podcast. Check out those archived episodes if you're craving a little bit more, and look forward to seeing and hearing from you all very soon. Ciao. None of the information in this podcast constitutes as financial advice, and you should seek your own independent financial advice before making any investment or financial decisions. Ciao.